Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. Brother Hagin made this statement in 1988. There are three things God is putting his stamp of approval on today, getting us ready for today. Number one is the local church. Number two, the restoration of the office of the apostle, prophet. And number three, the restoration of the supernatural. When we get these three things in right focus, we'll have a restoration of the supernatural in the sense that we should have it. I believe we have, when someone says something, it's because God's calling you to do something. You know, it sound comes before sight in the Word of God. It's said and then it's done. And I believe we are doing and we are called to do exactly that. Build the church, number one. Number one, build the church. The restoration of the apostle, prophet's office. The apostle is the one who is responsible for establishing churches, and the prophet speaks those words that cause the churches to be moved forward with, you know, the word of God and the prophetic word. That if there's not a church to hear that word, it won't be properly administered. And number three, the restoration of the supernatural. The supernatural, we are called to live and to have the supernatural in our midst. Brother Kenneth E. Hagin went on to say, the local body is the place where the Holy Ghost is continually felt, seen, heard, and revealed. Where the supernatural is just natural, normal, not out of the ordinary. We must see and understand this spiritual truth. The local church. When we lose our salt, we've lost the salt. If it's lost its savor, it's useless. It's just to be thrown out. Isn't that what the Bible says? You are the salt of the earth, of the light of the world, the salt. And don't lose your flavor. That supernatural Holy Ghost move of the Spirit of God that causes knees to bow and princes of the air to come down and causes kings of the earth to turn their heart and causes rivers to open up where there is no way. You don't want to lose your salt. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the most defining application of his death, burial, and resurrection in this hour. We are the fruit of what God produced in Christ Jesus. We are the visible, the evidence that not only Jesus lived, but that he lives. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's so vitally important to understand the plan of God today. And you cannot understand the plan of God today unless you understand what and define the church according to God's definition. Because God's plan during this, what we call dispensation of the grace of God, Ephesians 3 calls it, the time and the move of the hour when the grace of God, literally the longest highway anybody has ever walked on. I mean, Noah had his place, Abraham, Moses, all the different ones before, but now we come to the age of the dispensation of the grace of God, or as it's known as the church age, the longest stretch of highway anyone has ever walked on in obedience to the command of the Lord. And here we are. Hot dog. Woo! And Jesus, as he was giving a revelation of the church to John on the Isle of Patmos, we were talking to Pastor Ed day before yesterday, and I was telling him, here was John. They boiled him in oil, and they couldn't kill him. All the disciples were martyred for their faith. All of them died for the same faith you believe in today. Every single one of them. Every single one of them except John. And they tried their best to kill him. They boiled him in oil and they couldn't kill him. So they exiled him to the island of Patmos. And on the Isle of Patmos, he was in the spirit. He goes over here and he says at verse 9 of Revelation chapter 1. Oh, let's back up. This is just so good. Every time I read it, it just thrills me. He says in Revelation chapter 1, the revelation, verse 1 of Jesus Christ, which God gave him. I'm reading out of the New King James. Which God gave him to show his servants. That's who, that's us. That's us. We are the ones he came to show it to show his servants the things which must shortly or swiftly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God, to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. So we're getting ready to see what Jesus himself revealed to his servant John, and he's going to show it to you so you can see what he saw. And he says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keeps those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Glory to God. Verse 4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. Who's he writing to? Seven churches. I want you to know he was writing to seven local, visible, public churches. Men and women. I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about the people that God called together for a purpose that was greater than any problem death, hell, or the grave could think up. And they were called to be in a position for such a time as this. Now, when I say I'm not talking about a building, that does not mean that I diminish the value of the building. And if you think that, you are wrong. The place that God calls you to is so sacred. I know you know that. It's so holy. I mean, it's so important. If you don't make it to the right place, listen, as a Christian, if you don't find your place, you will not be able to be a part of what God has for you to do this hour. Listen, you're made for the church, Christian. You're made for the church. I know. We graduated from Raymond in 1980. We went 79-80, same year as Pastors Clinton and Sarah. And we were, let me tell you something. Now, this is our 39th year of traveling together. But I'm telling you, it's not the only thing. But if everything else we added, all the other prayer, study, obedience to the word, you can do all. I know far too many Christians that are off by themselves trying to produce the purpose and plan of God that they were never meant to be doing by themselves. You are called a member of the body of Christ. And so it's very important that you find your part, you find your place so you can do your part so the plan of God can be fulfilled. But so here we see he's writing to seven churches which are in Asia. Literally, the references to the word church in the New Testament, 114 references, 90 of those references are to public, local, visible assemblies. 90. I understand the universal church, but all the truths that are written about the universal church, the fact is that they were actually written to local churches. Although they apply and the meaning exceeds the local church, it's a universal truth. It was written to a local church, which tells me it takes a church, not just to get a date. Some of y'all don't know. It takes a church in order for God's plan to be performed, to be a release through your life. So he says, the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you, peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come, from the seven spirits who are before his throne, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth. Oh, I just like to read it. I just like to say it. To him who loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood, and made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know, you can amen yourself. Behold, he is coming with clouds. That doesn't mean it's a rainy day. That's the presence of God. He is coming with clouds. And just a side note, the more his coming gets closer, the more his presence among his people is known. Because he's coming with clouds of glory. He's coming with clouds. Every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. All the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Woo, I'm telling you, the sermon's already been written. Just read the script. But now listen to this. He says, I, John, your both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm not here because I did anything wrong. I'm here because of two things, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Don't let the world talk you out of those two things. That's what they would like to do. But I'm here to tell you, if you won't shut up, you will be a deliverer in this hour. Am I too plain spoken? The word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now this is it. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and I heard behind me a loud voice as a trumpet. Hang on here. I want to get up to this. I want to read something to you here. And I heard a loud voice as a trumpet. People always say, I don't think you have to be loud. But he said, I heard a loud voice. And he said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. This is Jesus. If I was to say it the way, you know, if I was to read it the way it was really being, you know, written, it would be, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And it's still not loud enough because he said it was as a voice, as a sound of a trumpet. I've been behind Phil Driscoll when he's playing his trumpet. And I'm here to tell you, it was loud. The sound of a trumpet. And he says, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first and last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. He knew exactly where they were. He knew exactly who they were. And I'm here to tell you, he knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly who you are today. And he's telling you something to hear. He's telling you something so you can hear it and tell someone else. Who is the Spirit of God talking to today? The Bible says he's speaking to the churches. You know, I heard somebody say, or I didn't hear him, I was reading a leadership thing and they were talking about the need in this hour. And yes, we do need to evangelize the world, but they were saying it's almost as though we need to re-evangelize the church. And bring an awareness of the meaning and the truth of the gospel to those who have bowed their knee. It's like we've kind of lost a little saltiness. You know what I mean? We need some flavor in this world. The flavor of the Holy Spirit, the God, the Almighty One, who was, who is, and who is to come. And he said to him, and then John says, then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. Now watch this now. Because if you want to really understand the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you want to see it, don't let someone who doesn't love God tell you what church is all about. Don't let someone who isn't looking to God to try to explain to you what you should do about your commitment to God in his church. He said, I turned and I to hear the voice that spoke, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, And in the midst of the seven lampstands, right in the middle of the seven golden lampstands, he says, I saw in the midst one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, girded about the chest with a golden band. His head, his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes like flames of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. Now watch this. Now this is what John saw in the spirit. He saw Jesus standing in the middle of seven golden lampstands. Now, the word, when he says the word lampstands, golden lampstands, the word gold literally signifies the presence of God in the Bible. It's what the Old Testament instruments were made out of. And the reason they were made out of pure gold is so that it would illustrate that they were connected to things heavenly or divine. The church is where God's presence must be experienced and felt and known on this earth. A golden lampstand, pure gold, a heavenly material. Now, this is what John saw. And Jesus is standing in the middle of seven golden lampstands. I looked up the word stand. You know, there's only two times when you see Jesus standing in the Bible, in the New Testament. Once is when Stephen was being stoned, remember? And he saw him standing at the right hand of the God, the Father. He said, Father, don't hold these sins against them. I'll take that for those last words of those faith that I follow. I'll take that. Don't hold this sin against them. And then John, as he's in the spirit, he sees Jesus standing right. And as you look it up in the Greek, the word means right in the very middle, not standing on the outside as a distant observer, standing in the very middle. And so you look up the word stand, and the word stand means to literally hold firm against something or someone. It literally means to hold ground against an enemy. To stand, to claim, to confront, to defy, to demand, to impose, to make a point of, make a stand, to stand up to stick it out. Different, all these words, throw down the gauntlet. Literally, he said, Jesus is right in the middle of the seven golden lampstands. And as he's standing there, he stands there to defend, to throw down the gauntlet, to defy the forces of evil, to make to hold ground against an enemy. He's not casual. That's us. Now I'm talking about Jesus in the midst of the church. You say, how do you know he's in the middle of the church? Well, let's go on here and you'll find out. He said, I saw at the seven golden lampstands. But look at this. He said, his hair white as snow, his eyes like flames of fire, his feet out of his mouth, a sharp two-edged sword. His hand, he had seven. I'm getting ahead of myself here. He said, his head and hair were white like wool, white as snow, his eyes like flames of fire, his feet like fine brass, as if refined. Find in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters, a voice, one Bible commentary says, that brings comfort to his friends and terror to his enemies. No one talks back to him.
Yes.
No one.
Yes.
His voice is a sound of many waters. His hair white as snow. His feet are still burning as they had walked through the fires of hell and defeated every wicked, evil work of the devil. And he rose from the dead and he stands right in the middle to defend and to hold ground in the middle with a display of everything he is, he was, and he will always be. And the Bible says that his as he's standing there, his feet, his voice is the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. I'm on verse 16. And his countenance was like the sun shining in full strength. Woo! Woo! You remember in the Old Testament when Moses went up on the mountain and he had got the Ten Commandments from God. He was in God's presence and he came down. Remember what they said? Put a veil on your face. We just can't stand that's so bright. Put a veil on your face. Well, the Bible says that that veil has been torn. It was torn down. There is no veil anymore. We can behold his glory, his presence. And that presence, it comes from the one who is, the Bible says, with a voice of the sound of many waters. And his presence, his countenance in our midst is brighter than the noonday sun shining at full strength. Woo, hot dog, brother. There ain't no way the devil's gonna have his way. It's just not gonna happen. He proved it when he walked through death, hell, and the grave. And you're here, church, to prove it today. That's what you're here for. In his right hand, seven stars. And when I saw him, now watch this. He said, I fell at his feet as dead. He literally fell out. Just fell out. Sometimes people think, I don't really think it's necessary to have all the falling. What's everybody always falling in church? You know, it's kind of like the, never mind. What's everybody? Well, you know what? I expect for people to fall when they get in God's presence. I'm not saying you have to, but goodness gracious, I mean, Let's just see how far we can go. Let's just be exposed to his glory. I'm not saying you have to, but I don't find it funny if somebody does. And John fell. And you know, we never hear that he got back up. He might have got this whole vision while he was out. You say, well, why should I fall out? Well, sometimes you become more aware of the things of God when you just are no longer having to, you know, carry on your body. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, that's right.
Maybe some of you don't, but that's okay. Just keep listening. You will. And he said, he laid his right hand on me. And he said, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives. I was dead, but behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Write the things which you've seen, the things which are, the things which will take place after this. And then he says, oh, I love this verse. He says, the mystery of the seven stars. You say, what is this? Okay, Jesus is in the middle of seven golden lampstands and he's holding seven stars in his right hand. What does this mean? You don't have to wonder. Jesus himself tells us. He said, the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, or messengers, as one translation says. And Jesus literally has sent men to deliver messages to the church. He calls those men or women pastors, and he himself holds them in his right hand. Special care is given to those that he has said, I have given you a message for the church. And then he said this. And the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. Seven lampstands he saw were the seven churches. Remember, they were golden lampstands. Now see, it really, people today, well, I've heard this said not too long ago, you know, I'm not going to church because, you know, this person did this there to me and you know, I had this difficulty and I had this problem and, you know, I want to go, wait. You got your eyes on the wrong thing. Listen, I don't know if you realize it or not, but if all you had, listen, it's like that guy they found on the desert island, you know. You've heard the story. And they find him on the desert island and they see there's three different buildings on that island. They said, oh, what is that? He said, oh, that's my house. Oh, and he said, what's that? He said, oh, that's my church. They said, okay, what's this other one? He said, oh, that's the church I used to go to. You don't need anybody. You will offend yourself at some point. Have you ever got up and you looked at yourself in the mirror and said, what did you do that for? You know, if you could, you'd leave yourself, but you can't. And he listened to me. You got your eyes on the wrong thing. You got your eyes on the people that God has called to be a part. The people are not the people are not flawless, but his plan is if you get your eyes on the one who stands in the midst of the church, if you get your eyes on the one whose voice is like the sound of many waters, whose hair is white as snow, whose eyes are like flames of fire, his feet are like fine black brass, and honey, when he speaks, it sounds like a trumpet. I'll guarantee you who he is, who he was, he still is, and if you keep your eyes on him, no matter what Brother Billy did or Sister Martha did, I'm here to tell you that what Jesus has done will keep you where you're supposed to be. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You say, well, there's just too many people there that I can't get along with. The whole point, you will never be what God wants you to be if you don't cook up with the people he's called you to. And listen, I got news for you. Anybody you hook up with is going to require you to walk in love, is going to require you to forgive and forget, and is going to require you to see them the same way Jesus does. Ooh, the devil just hopes you'll never believe that you're made for this church. He hopes you'll never believe it because he knows that the gift of God in you begins to open up. And when it does, the Bible says this about the lampstand. What he says, what did he say the seven lampstands were? Seven? Churches, local churches. Remember what Jesus said about the lampstand? In Matthew 5, verse 14, Jesus said, a lampstand, which is an oil-burning lamp, a container of the Holy Spirit on the earth. And literally, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do you light a lamp and put it under a basket or a bushel, but on a what? A what? A lampstand. And what happens when you put your light on a lampstand? It gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may, isn't this what we want to do? Be a witness? We don't want to just have it. We want to be able to declare it to our world so that they will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. He said, don't take your light. You have a light that's been lit by Jesus Christ, the light of the world. He said, don't take your light and put it under a bushel. A bushel was a measuring device or a jar of solid material that was used to scoop and measure grain. He said, don't take your light and put it one of these bushels over it, because then your light cannot be seen. You say, what happens? How do people put a bushel over their light? It's what happens. When Christians have talents, gifts, faith, things from the Holy Ghost to change the world around you. But about the time you begin to step out in faith to let your light shine, something happens and you begin to back off because it's, you know, something happened to try to discourage you or try to stop you. So you put a bushel on your light and nobody sees. Nobody sees. He says, but you take your light and you put it on a lampstand. The lampstand signified that literally this was the way it could provide maximum light, and put the position of the lamp would cause its influence to change. The amount of light that was produced from the lamp would be changed, would be the same, but because of its position, it would change. Woo! I think I'm going to church. Ha ha! Oh, I'm here to tell you, you. As surely as the devil could not stop Moses from delivering the people out of Egypt, as surely as he could not stop Abraham from believing God, and by faith he offered a sacrifice. Oh, but the provision of God brought the promise of God secure. As surely as Noah built a boat in the middle of dry ground to the saving of his soul, Jesus built the church, and the church, the Bible declares, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Put your light on a lampstand and let it shine for all the world to see. This hour, number one, what is God doing? The local church. Christ in you is the hope of the world. I believe it. How about you? Amen. Thank you, Lord.